The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello, and welcome to Friday's edition of the still untitled Guardian Film Podcast. My name's Benjamin Lee, it's almost Halloween, and joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Henry Boo Arns, right?
Hi, Ben. What's yours going to be?
Oh, I've no idea.
Ben Scarily.
Oh, that's good. Yeah? Oh, with those awful people on Twitter.
Yes.
So today's news today, there's talk of an all-female Ocean's 11 reboot starring Sandra Bullock. It's still to be confirmed, but it's rumoured that Steven Soderbergh and George Clooney will produce. But it's unclear how much the film will have in common with the original, or the remake of the original, or the sequels to the remake of the original. It's becoming a bit of a trend in Hollywood to remake and reboot old films and gender swap the roles. There's obviously Ghostbusters, and there's also a Roadhouse remake starring MMA star Ronda Rousey. Henry, do you think it's a sign that Hollywood's becoming less sexist, or is it just a superficial way of clearing the dust off old property?
Well, there's two ways of seeing it, I guess. I mean, the first way you could see it is that this is encouraging, that we're finally getting projects that are going to be female-led, that they're going to have recognisable female stars that are presumably going to mean that there's some box office behind it, which then encourages, in a positive feedback loop, people to make more films featuring strong female characters. And I hate that phrase, but I've used it, so there we go. The second way of seeing it is that it's another example of Hollywood laziness in rebooting old franchise, and it's kind of insulting to assume that women just speak men, if you know what I mean, just speak the male language, but it's okay just to transplant them into these projects and it'll be fine because women are the same as men. It doesn't really matter. I don't know. It was weird in May and encouraging in May to see Mad Max Fury Road and Pitch Perfect 2 both do really well at the international box office. And that's because they are two different types of films, if you see what I mean. One of them is aimed very much, I'd say, at a male audience, a traditional male audience with Mad Max Fury Road, even though it has a female protagonist, essentially, in the form of Charlize Theron. The other one would traditionally be aimed at a female audience, Pitch Perfect 2. But again, it made huge box office suggesting that men were going to go and enjoy it as well. So I think that audiences are a lot more sophisticated than studios are still giving them credit for, which is ultimately depressing. But if they're finally coming around to the idea that there is a broad base for a lot of these projects, then yeah, it is encouraging.
I feel like change is really slow, though. I mean, after Bridesmaids came out, there was all this talk that Bridesmaids is going to change everything. It's going to be all these big female comedies. And there felt like there was a couple of rip-offs, but I feel like it's taking a while to actually see that kind of change happen.
Yes, it is. And I think Paul Feig, the director of Bridesmaids and the new Ghostbusters film, said as much. He said, with things like Bridesmaids, you have to leap on that kind of momentum and really say, this is a movement happening, even if you feel like you're overblowing it a little bit, because some movement is good no matter how far you get, I guess. You know, and it is extraordinarily lazy of most Hollywood studios to still think that we just want male-driven stories with male characters. And then people will come back and say, well, if you look at the best-performing films of all time, they've all got male leads. That's because men were given those chances to be in those films by male executives. So it really is a case of people like George Clooney, who is making some steps in this regard, you know, powerful male figures in the industry, coming out and saying, we need more of these stories that centre on female characters.
Speaking of Hollywood being lazy, there's also news today that the Alien franchise, which was set to become a Marvel-esque cinematic universe, is now getting a little bit smaller, perhaps. Ridley Scott's making a sequel to Prometheus, confusingly titled Alien Paradise Lost, and Neil Blomkamp was also making an actual sequel to Alien Resurrection called Alien 5, working title. But Blomkamp's now announced on Twitter that his film, which was set to reunite original cast members, such as Sigourney Weaver, is being put on hold so Prometheus 2, or Alien Paradise Lost, can take over. It's all very confusing, Henry. Why do you think this has happened? Do you think sort of Fox are putting more stock in a Ridley Scott post-Martian than Blomkamp post-Chappie, maybe? Or the Alien Paradise Lost film is becoming more of an Alien film than Prometheus film? Or why do you think it's kind of they've chosen one over the other?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's disappointing because I think Neil Blomkamp, of the new clutch of sci-fi directors, is someone who gets Alien, who gets these worlds. He understands the almost 70s sci-fi tropes and the way that suspense plays into these films, and the idea that you don't have to throw absolutely everything at the screen to make something scary or interesting or even terrifying. It's sort of disheartening that he's been kicked off this, because I think he would have done a really good job of it. And Alien is notoriously hard to get right. You've had people, I mean, James Cameron did a fair job of it. Ridley Scott obviously set the blueprint. But then in other media, things like computer games about Alien, they've never really managed to capture that same suspense and terror that the original characters did. And I don't know what the answer is in terms of why he's been kicked off of it. I'm a bit despairing about a Prometheus sequel, to be honest, just because the first one was so dry and so boring and was engineered towards people who love the deep dive into the alien world, when I think you want something that's a bit more general and just a bit more scary, to be honest. What do you think?
I mean, Prometheus took itself extremely seriously because Alien worked because, it's been called this many times, but it was a haunted house movie in space, and it worked because it was quite simple. And Prometheus started giving all these... trying to answer questions it didn't really have the smarts to really answer, like where we came from. And I don't want to see that from an alien film. I want to see the kind of the, what works in an alien film, which is the scary stuff.
I think as soon as you start dallying in cinematic universes, which it seems like they're trying to set up, then you're onto a loser with this kind of thing, because a very simple premise is then stretched across multiple films. I really hope something, again, like the Ghostbusters film that Paul Feig is doing, I really hope that just keeps to the very simple premise about supernatural fighters in New York. It's fun, you know, why not stick to that kind of thing? My feeling would be that something like that, again, is going to sprawl out into Ghostbusters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you get into this idea that a very simple idea is stretched across so thin it'll break.
Yeah, it's a worry. I mean, a lot of cinematic universes seem to be sort of cropping up, and I think a lot of them are being cancelled left, right and centre, because I don't think people, can put their time and
it's
money into
an
making them.
For them either. Yeah.
Now, it's Friday, which means there are lots of films coming out. Spectre came out, Spectre came out on Monday, though, which is kind of changing the rules slightly, but there's still lots of films coming out this Friday. And even though Spectre is monopolising, I think it's on 647 screens at the moment, which is a record, there are other smaller films trying to break through. Henry, what's your pick of the week?
My definite pick of the week is a film by Jafar Panahi, which is called Taxi Tehran. And Panahi has been given instruction by the Iranian government not to make films. And he's ignored it completely and defiantly and jubilantly started to make movies again. He did This Is Not a Film, which famously was smuggled out of Iran on a USB stick hidden in a cake.
Wow.
And now Taxi Tehran is him driving around pretending to be a cabbie, basically picking up people throughout the city and allowing them to talk about the state of Iran, the state of filmmaking in the back of the cab. And it's much more exciting and fun than that sounds. It's just clever, funny. And most importantly, he's not someone who just hectors you and tells you that this is how Iran should be or this is how my career should be. He's someone who wants to have fun with this idea that there can be restrictions to filmmaking and that politics is often going to get in the way of what you can and can't say. And I just love that optimism. And I love the fact that he's just willing to share his troubles with us in a way that is entertaining. And it's far better than Spectre. Please go and see that film if you can get the chance.
Speaking of films being far better than Spectre, I saw a film this week called Fresh Dressed, which is a very fun, light-footed documentary about the history of hip-hop and fashion and how they've become intertwined. It's got lots of big names talking, like Nas and Kanye West. And instead of being a sort of Channel 5 clip show, let's all laugh at how bad our sweatshirts were, it's actually a very affectionate look at the ingenuity that had to be put into to actually getting these small businesses off the ground, which I'd really recommend seeing that. And because it's Halloween, I'm sure you're going to be dressing up and giving chocolate to children.
Yes, I think. I'm also going to be giving everyone a tip that you've done an amazing quiz on the film site, which is guess which film this pumpkin is from. I really recommend people go and look at that because, it's a treat. Oh, it's
top,
a Halloween treat.
Top stuff.
I love it. I guess you're going to ask me what my favourite Halloween film is, though,
I was
right?
going to ask you what your favourite Halloween, but trying to pick something which people may not have seen, a sort of underseen scary film.
I mean, one of the scariest films I've ever seen, and I absolutely love this movie, is Enter the Void by Gaspar Noé. It's got this kind of weird druggy dream sequence for the first 20 minutes or so, which is just these fronds of fern-like plants creeping across the screen, mixed with a really odd kind of backwards soundtrack, and it goes on for way too long, but it's absolutely terrifying. And there's a car crash scene in that film which just made me feel sick, made me feel sad, stayed with me for about 7 or 8 weeks afterwards, and just still makes my skin crawl to this day. I mean, a lot of horror films I don't like very much because I'm not a huge fan of jump scares. I don't particularly like gore very much unless it's done entertainingly, like Brain Dead by Peter Jackson. But Enter the Void just got deep into my subconscious and stayed there and still stays there and is still frightening. How about you?
Speaking of sort of Brain Dead and Peter Jackson, there's this really great New Zealand comedy horror, and I usually hate that genre mashup in it because I think it's really hard to get the balance right. I think it goes too far one way or the other. There's a film called Housebound, which was released without much fanfare earlier this year, but the reviews were generally great. It's this sort of fun, early Spielberg, early Dante-esque sort of 80s, well, it's not set in the 80s, but it feels like you're watching a movie is it when you're kind of 14 that you shouldn't be watching. It's about a girl who's a delinquent who gets sentenced to house arrest with her mother, who she can't stand, and her stepfather. And it's incredibly confidently made. They get the balance completely right. It's funny and it's scary. It's being remade, obviously, depressingly, but it's probably the most fun I've had watching a film the past year, so I'd really recommend people watch that. Now we've come to the end of today's podcast, but make sure to check out theguardian.com/film for all of today's best news, reviews and features. Today you can find a feature on which feminist biopics should be made post-suffragette and a more detailed look at all of the films released in cinemas this week. See you on Monday, and remember, it's Halloween, so everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Whoa.
Oh, God. Oh,
got you, yeah.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.